So we are arrived at the seventh section of the Lightning Strike Sutra, otherwise known as the Diamond Cutting Sutra. Both are appropriate names for a text that has been probably the most crucial teaching of the Buddhist tradition. And the teachings really are thunderbolts of truth, that if you take them in, they will destroy the dualistic mind because its logic cannot coexist with the truth that is being expressed. That is too paradoxical and too undoing of the very basis of the capacity to think, that in the dualistic consciousness of the ego is based on a subject-object differential. And it is that that is being ripped away in these teachings. But in the seventh section, which is very short, it is also left with a very controversial ambiguity at the end. But let me read it. Once again, the Buddha asked the Venerable Subhuti, "What do you think, Subhuti? Did the Tathagata realize any such dharma as unexcelled perfect enlightenment? Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. And does the Tathagata teach any such dharma?" What would you answer if you were in Subhuti's shoes? Difficult question. The Venerable Subhuti takes a risk and thereupon answered, "Bhagavan, as I understand the meaning of what the Buddha says, the Tathagata did not realize any such dharma as unexcelled perfect enlightenment." That's quite an insult, isn't it, to his guru? "Nor does the Tathagata teach such a dharma." Now, it's interesting. The first sentence of Subhuti was put in quotation marks. The next sentence is not. However, if you go to the end, you once more have quotation marks as if it was a continuation of the same quotation. But there's a typographical ambiguity as well as a logical one. But let me continue. So he says, "No, the Tathagata did not realize any such dharma as unexcelled perfect enlightenment, nor does the Tathagata teach such a dharma." And why? Because this dharma, realized and taught by the Tathagata, is incomprehensible and inexpressible and is neither a dharma nor no dharma. And why? And this is the sentence that seems, I'll let you decide. And why he ends it? Because sages arise from what is uncreated. But is that really why? And remember, this sentence, "because sages arise from what is uncreated," is Subhuti's idea. This is not part of Buddha's teaching. And in the next section, you'll see that he actually denies that. But is the dharma incomprehensible? Is it inexpressible? It's just been said in words. This whole sutra is a teaching that is expressing the Buddha's understanding. And does that understanding not constitute unexcelled perfect enlightenment? So let's take it from the last sentence and go upward in terms of the logic, because it is that sentence that seems to be the point of inflection of the of Subhuti's understanding that is inaccurate. And what will the Buddha say later? No, sages, and here is a question. The word was sages, jnanis. It wasn't Buddhas. It wasn't that Buddhas arise from what is uncreated. And is there a difference between a sage and a Buddha? But what the Buddha says in other parts of the sutra is that Buddhas arise from the teaching that is contained in the sutras themselves. It is a symbolic transmission that is required for Buddhahood to arise or to be realized. If there is no symbolic transmission, the buddhi, the understanding, cannot awaken. So you do not simply realize the truth by entering the uncreated, because you can only enter the uncreated once you know it is there to be entered. And you can only know it is there if that has been symbolically transmitted, so that there is a space within your symbolic universe that functions as a portal to the unborn and the uncreated. But that transmission has to be not simply symbolic, because if it's just in the form of words, those words themselves will not have the power to create belief, faith, trust, love. It has to be transmitted with the energy of the uncreated self. And this is the reason why there has to be a personal relationship with one who can transmit that energy, and an openness and a love and a faith and trust sufficient to receive it without fear, because there will be a terror that comes with that opening of the symbolic, that will be like a rupture through which the light comes in, but also through which the ego dies in the infinite void in which there is nothing to hold on to, and that in which no I thought can remain. And so the conditions for the transmission of Buddhahood must be in place in the phenomenal plane for that event to happen. And yet, the event doesn't really happen in the phenomenal plane, because the phenomenal plane is illusory. Nothing real happens in the phenomenal plane. So this is the paradox. You see, is the Buddha, even the guy who is sitting there in front of Subhuti, is it that bodily being who is the Buddha? Did he become the Buddha by doing years of tapas and sitting under the famous Bodhi tree and reaching enlightenment? Did he become the Buddha, or was he always the Buddha? But is the Buddha he? Is it that bodily being? Is Sri Ramana Bhagavan? Is that bodily being someone whom one should honor as enlightened? Or is enlightenment a condition of the realization that you are not the bodily being you think you are, nor is anyone else? So Buddhahood, if it is indeed the realization of the uncreated, cannot happen in time. It cannot be created as the uncreated. So that which is uncreated and unborn, ajata, completely transcendent of space and time, cannot be an occurrence that takes place in space and time. And yet, without the objective correlate of that event taking place in space and time, that which is real beyond space and time cannot be known by your icon within the video game of space and time, and you will never be satisfied and freed of your suffering as a phenomenal being unless that is realized by that level of the consciousness that operates with language. And only through that operation of understanding in which your reason is in accord with a truth that transcends reason, can that liberation that is eternal also occur in space and time and free you from having to come back into the illusion in order to realize that you were never here at all. It's that paradox that is being expressed in this section of the sutra. And it may be the deepest point of the sutra. But, you know, at the end of Kali Yuga, physics itself, if you pay attention to the most recent advances, they are admitting space and time are not real. Matter is not real. It's just an agitation in a quantum field. And the quantum field itself is an artifact of consciousness. There is no reality outside of consciousness. But consciousness constructs an unreal world in which it has to rediscover its reality and deconstruct that which has been constructed symbolically as well as energetically, because there is an energetic bondage that collapses the quantum wave and the qualium wave function, that keeps your body alive and keeps your ego also with the illusion of existence, and keeps a kind of equilibrium, which is a homeostasis of egoic functioning, because you're terrified that you'll go mad if you don't keep the ego as a relatively fixed quantity and quality of consciousness. But none of that is real, and the one who is holding it fixed in that particular level, as soon as it realizes that there's nothing to be afraid of in letting go and realizing the infinite intelligence and beauty and light and love and joy of the inherent nature of your real being, will free itself from its self-created bondage that it only used as an instrument for that self-liberation in the first place. But the self that you are, that is not the thinking ego, is the one that will determine the moment at which that liberation occurs within the space-time manifold that is its own dream. You will determine when you awaken, but the one who determines it is not the one who is asleep. And that one has no say in the matter, because that one has no free will, because it's simply a dream delusion. And the only thing that can be done to hasten that event is to disidentify from that illusory self. So that is the only sadhana, but that sadhana is an effortless acceptance of all that occurs without any holding on to a desire for an outcome. So the only way to achieve liberation is not to want it, but also not to want bondage, not to want to exist as a being in a world, but not to want not to exist. It's that which is the razor's edge. And once that is attained, through the silencing of the mind and of the emotions, so that there are no affects that produce either contractions or attractions or aversions, because you must be without either one so that you are not within the magnetic pull of that quantum field that keeps one attached to the desire of the other, and the desire to be desired and held and given an identity and a sense of stability by the presence of someone else who keeps one stable through their fixated false identity structure. And there must be no attachment to that kind of parasitism, symbiosis, call it what you will, but it ultimately aloneness is required to realize the all-oneness of our true nature. And it's that liberation that at the end of the cycle of time is all that remains for us as a portal to freedom from a world that has become tyrannical and deadly to the soul as well as the body, and from which we can only be freed through that divine intervention that comes through our surrender to that which we truly are. May you all have that realization through the disidentification with the bodily instrument through which you are perceiving and understanding the truth, but allowing that truth to take you beyond understanding to the realization of that which has never been born. May you know the peace and the silence that comes from understanding symbolically the truth that there is a dimension of consciousness that transcends language, that is the abode of the real self. And may you know the deeper peace of entering into that abode and recognizing the infinite expanse of luminous clarity and immediate intuitive knowing and the absolute feeling power of the divine presence of the uncreated true nature of what is meant by I. And may you know the supreme peace of having dissolved and annihilated everything that is not the true I, and liberated consciousness from any entanglement with the illusory and impermanent embodied consciousness identified as a separate creature within a world in which it cannot control the outcome of events, but shift into that true intrinsic empowerment that comes from the total recognition that I is the dreamer of this dream, and all is perfect and a perfect manifestation of the will of that self which alone is real.